Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
But joining us now on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, the voice of the Atlanta Braves, Chip Carey. Chip, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys, on this rainy day. Hopefully the weather will clear up and we'll have a perfect night for baseball again.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That would be great. Last night certainly was a nice night for baseball. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way that we wanted it to, and it had a lot to do with the bullpen. And I wonder, from your perspective, is the biggest difference in this team now versus what they were last year that confidence that you feel in the bullpen?
I don't know if it's confidence, because I think, in fairness to those guys, number one, they've done a great job because they've been so shorthanded. Because number two, they haven't had the bullpen put together the way they envisioned it pretty much from the opening day of the season. A.J. Minter didn't have a good day. He was honest about that in his postgame comments, and he didn't. But he and Matzik have pitched pretty much every day for this club. And with this bullpen being so left-handed heavy and the absence of Chris Martin and Shane Green finally signing with the club, they really haven't had that strong right-handed presence. So out of necessity, those two guys in particular have had to pitch almost every game. And when you combine that with a starting staff that until this week was averaging five innings or less in rotation, that puts even more pressure on a bullpen that's shorthanded. So it really goes hand in hand. I think the bullpen guys have done a remarkably good job, again, the small sample size of last night notwithstanding, of trying to keep the Braves in the game and holding down the fort over these first 34, 35 games. And now that it looks like Martin's on his way back, you're going to get Shane Green here in a couple of weeks, I would assume. Things will start to stabilize down there. And with Max Fried back in rotation and pitching tonight, hopefully he can go six or seven innings. And as that becomes more familiar, I think the confidence that we'll have in the bullpen is going to increase, because they'll be in their assigned roles and they'll be in a much better position on a day-to-day basis to get those critical outs that Brian Snicker needs them to get.
Hey, Chip, when you say that they're the roles in the bullpen as far as, you know, who's going to seventh, eighth, does that happen as soon as we get a healthy Shane Green, Chris Martin, all those guys, or is this something that goes and kind of works its way out towards the All-Star game and things like that?
Yeah, I think they'll work it out. I don't think you're going to see Shane Green get thrown right into high-leverage situations. I doubt Chris Martin would be as big an issue in doing that, because he's been pitching this year. But look, the way managers and general managers, generally speaking, my experience has been watching the game for 30 years, you build your bullpen from the ninth inning forward, not the sixth inning back.
Right.
So you figure you've got Will Smith for the ninth inning. He's going to be your closer, at least for now. Then you can say, okay, we've got a right-handed portion of the lineup coming up in the eighth inning. You've got Chris Martin and Shane Green for those spots. If you've got a lefty-heavy part of the lineup in the sixth or seventh inning, that's where Minter and Matzik can be effective. And once those roles are established and once those guys are slotted in, all of a sudden you can see the depth of the Braves' bullpen, man. I mean, because nobody wants to face Minter or Matzik generally. They've been good against lefties and righties. You've got Green and Martin to bury the right-handed bats like Toronto features in their lineup. And then Will Smith is your guy in the ninth inning. All of a sudden you figure, okay, if my starter has to go five, I've got four innings covered. If he goes seven, I only need to use two guys to get those final six out. So, yeah, that's the frustrating part is you see the pieces in place, you see the options, and you see the opportunities. But until Chris Martin comes back, there's a big void in the right side of the bullpen. And when you get Shane Green here, all of a sudden what's now, I don't want to say weakness, but what's now a deficit could very well become a very big strength for this club, and I think we're all looking forward to that.
Sometimes guys being in roles that they weren't expected to be in ends up as a really good story as well. And I think with Enoa, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, he was projected to be in the bullpen, possibly, maybe a part of the fifth starter, whatever. He's been incredible. Has his performance this year been the story of the early part of the season to you?
I think so. He's turned into the de facto ace of the staff. And that's with no disrespect to Charlie Morton, who has pitched okay. I think he'd grade himself probably okay. Max Fried did not start well, got hurt, came back, pitched a great game, his first game back from the injured list. Where would the Braves be without three key guys that I don't think anybody expected them to have huge roles on the team? You mentioned Enoa, not just on the mound, but at the plate, and Adrianza and Pablo Sandoval. I mean, those three guys have really, as a trio, kept the Braves within a game of 500. And, yeah, that's the great thing about our sport is it seems every year you come out of spring training with a couple of guys you never had on your radar. Tyler Matzek was one of them last year. And they come in and they not only surprise, but they thrive and flourish. And those three really have done that. So, yeah, Enoa's been a great story. He's 4-1. He's pitched great. He's hit great. And he's becoming a guy that everybody tunes in to see not only what he's going to do with the ball, but what he's going to do with the bat. And that's what makes it fun. And can't wait to see him pitch again in the coming week.
Contreras, the young catcher, we were talking about him earlier before we had you on. He's so demonstrative behind the plate and everything. But this guy looks like he has a good chips and he could be behind the plate for a decade from now.
Yeah, the Braves like him a lot. They like his game. They like his work ethic. Obviously, his family name speaks for itself. His brother's an excellent catcher and all-star with the Cubs. Look, he's far from the finished product. Right. And the same thing that Brian Snitker said about Bryce Wilson last night is the same thing you can apply to Pache and Contreras and some of these other kids. Look, they're here probably before the Braves wanted them to be. And as long as they can keep their head above water, this experience is going to be a huge difference maker for them in their careers. There are going to be some great moments, and there are going to be some head-scratching moments that you're just going to go, oh, gosh, I wish he had more experience. But look, you love the kid's work ethic. He can hit. We know, and then, you know, talking to Sal Fasano, we know defensively he's got some things he's got to continue to work on. But that's the name of the game right now. You know, one man's misfortune, that being Darnell, is another man's opportunity. And I think Contreras is going to seize it. He's really excited about it. And having guys like Sal Fasano and Jeff Mathis and Rick Kranitz in his corner teaching him the nuances of the game, I think he's going to be a fast learner. And you're right, he's a guy that the Braves really feel is going to be an everyday guy here for a long time.
Chip Carey joining us here from Bally Sports on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy talking some Braves. And we understand, Chip, that teams are going to pitch Ronald Acuna inside sometimes. We understand sometimes those pitchers are going to get away and hit Ronald Acuna. What is the right way, in your estimation, for the Braves to go about handling that when that happens?
I think each one is a case-by-case scenario. I don't think Coonrod was trying to hit Ronald Acuna Jr. You're right. You have to pitch him inside. I think where it gets dicey is, and I go back to the Tony La Russa philosophy, you have to establish the inside part of the plate. There's never anything wrong with that. It's up to the hitter to get out of the way if that ball is boring in on the inner half or farther than that. Ronald does like to dive. He likes to get his arms extended, likes to hit the ball away, and can do that. So you have to keep him honest in there. But where Tony La Russa was absolutely right, I think, is that anything that's shoulder high or higher should not be acceptable at this level. There was a nice story in The Athletic the other day talking about velocity and location. That high four-seam fastball at the top of the zone is a very tantalizing pitch to throw, but there are a lot of guys who don't have enough control of that pitch. And when you start missing shoulder and head high at this level, that should not be acceptable. And, how Braves handle that, again, you evaluate case-by-case basis. I don't think Coonrod, as I said, was trying to hit him. It's unfortunate. We dodged a huge bullet, and we're all glad that Ronald's back in the lineup. But needless to say, it's something they note. It's something they know about. And now that Urania's in the American League with the Detroit Tigers, I don't think we have to worry about him until we get back to interleague play. But look, nobody wants to see the stars get hurt. And that goes back to the overriding difference in the game today. The overarching goal of velocity over command sometimes gets star players hurt or even the non-stars hurt. We don't want to see that happen. So pitch inside, that's fine. That's fair game. Pitch under the hands, that's fair game too. But if you go shoulder high or higher, that's out of bounds, I think.
Chip, you've called it pretty much every game that Ozzy Albies has played in and everything. I wanted your opinion on the fact that he's a switch hitter, righty-righty, left, all that thing. But it just seems like he's so much more comfortable to me batting at the right-handed side of the plate. But obviously with so many, with the left-handed pitcher, with the right-handed pitcher, he goes to the left. Do you think he can be an effective hitter righty on righty?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can. But I think it takes away an advantage. Remember, this guy hit almost 300 a couple of years ago, switch hitting, and nobody was complaining about
it.
Look, he got off to a slow start this year. His switch hitting is a part of his game. It's a great part of his game. He's got power from both sides of the plate. The oddity of it is he has not had many at-bats this year against left-handed pitching. Which, again, is his strong side, right-handed. But I know I hear people say all the time, why does he keep switch hitting? Well, he does it because he's really good. Mm-hmm. And talked with Chipper Jones about the state of the game the other day here at the ballpark. And he said to me, hitting now is harder than it's ever been in the major leagues. Everybody is throwing 97 miles an hour. We talked about that on the broadcast last night. It is not easy to hit in the major leagues. When you see the average major league batting average, I think in the 230s, that tells you all you need to know about how hard it is to put the bat on the ball on a consistent basis. So I'm all for Ozzie switch hitting. I think it's a huge weapon for this team. He provides some protection behind Ozuna, and it really makes the manager think when he decides to put four fingers up and pass Freeman or pass Ozuna. You still have to deal with Albies, and it limits his options out of the bullpen. So I don't think that's something that Ozzie even thinks about, and I hope he does it. I like him from both sides of the plate, to be honest with you.
Chip, you've been nice enough to join us a bunch of times over the last few years, and last year included, when things were weird and there's no fans in stands and you're not traveling and all that. I have to imagine that it's been very nice the last week or so to have a full stadium.
Oh, man, it's been great. I got to tell you, it got a little misty in the broadcast booth, for me at least, when we had 100% capacity the other day at the ballpark, when the Phillies were in town. So much of what we do, I mean, in fact, all of what we do is for the fans. That's the goal of our coverage on Bally Sports. You know, we want to bring the game to the people who can't come to the ballpark. And for obviously last year, nobody could come. And then as people started trickling in, just to see the smiling faces, to see fans having a good time, you know, the chop and the chant and all that kind of stuff, the Braves playing good baseball, it made us feel like things were getting back to normal again. And to a certain degree, they are. You know, we're still not traveling. I'm a big advocate of us needing to be on the road to keep bringing those stories to you. We're always still clamoring for more access with the players and more understanding of how the COVID restrictions and Major League Baseball's concerns about COVID. Look, the Yankees had an outbreak the other day with two coaches already vaccinated, so we get it. But bottom line is the sooner we all get back to normal with our travel schedule, with our interactions with the players and coaches, and utilize those relationships we've spent decades building, the better we're going to be able to tell the stories of this team and this season to our fans. But we're striving and working hard every day to keep doing that. And believe me, we are so grateful for the fans who've chosen to come to the ballpark. And we thank our lucky stars that we have such great, passionate fans every single day. And hopefully we'll have another big crowd at the ballpark tonight when we get the Braves in the win column.
All right, last thing, Chip. All right, we had Paul on yesterday. He said it was in Montana. We know you know. Where is the alternate training site at? Because we know where they come up to Gwinnett. We need to know, where is the alternate training site?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Paul Bird said it might be in Montana.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it seems at times like we're living in an alternate universe. I saw a video today of a lady pumping gas at a two Publix grocery bag.
We just talked about that.
Yeah. So we are definitely living in an alternate universe. I'll take Paul Bird. If anybody would know it somewhere else than out of the norm, I would definitely say Paul Bird would be the guy that would know. So it could be somewhere on Ted Turner's ranch in Montana someplace. More than that, it's, you know, in all seriousness, I think everybody's tired of saying the alternate site. I think we're all glad to be saying we got minor league baseball back.
Damn right.
I know you guys are up against a break, but the importance of minor league baseball to the towns, to those fans, to our sport, for the development of these players, and having guys going down and being able to rehab and play real games, not scrimmages, I think is going to do wonders for everybody's psyches and for the ultimate product at the end level, which is here in the major league. So congratulations to Gwinnett and Mississippi and Augusta and Rome. We're all thrilled that you guys are back, and hopefully those minor league clubs will have great years too.
You're doggone right.
Chip, I was watching the game with my mom last night. She wanted you to know that she really liked it when you called the Blue Jays catcher the bespectacled backstop. She really liked it. So she wanted me to tell you that.
Yeah, thanks, but I got to tell you, if I'm a major league hitter, I'm not too confident when I go to the batter's box and the pitcher and the catcher are wearing glasses. That would light on my feet, shall we say, when you dig in a guy's throwing 97. But tell Mom thanks. I appreciate it. And I'll try not to make a spectacle of myself tonight in game two of the series.
Appreciate it, Chip.
Thank you, Chip.
Okay, guys. All the best. See you soon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.